Okay.
So, I'd like to thank everyone for the introduction. Really tremendous introduction, and unbelievable. The hospitality is the top. It's a little bit different, and it's not exactly what I expected. I'll tell you that. There was a bit, yeah, possible. Yeah, possible. There was a definite difference between Sefer Devarim and every other one of the Svarim of the Chumash. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, without a question, they seem to be extremely clear that it was straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, directly from the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then comes Devarim, known as Mishnah Torah, a repetition, sort of, so to speak, of the laws that were mentioned up until now. And then it seems to be the words of Moshe. It seems to be that it's all from Moshe Rabbeinu, and it seems to be something a little bit different. The question is, what is that difference? What do we get from Parshas Devarim that's any different from everything else? This is, it's not the first time that we've heard a speech. There have been speeches before. It's not the first time where a story hasn't been told. Bereishis is mostly story, but there were parts of Bereishis that just went through generations. There's parts in Shmos and there's parts in Vayikra where it just goes through certain laws, and it goes through Parshas Mishpatim, telling you one law to the other, Vayikra, going through all the korbanos. It seems that this type of Parsha has been there before, but Devarim is definitely different. Devarim is without a question different. It was altogether supposed to be a Sefer that was 36 days long, from Rosh Chodesh Shvat until the very end, when Moshe Rabbeinu finished his speech the day before his death, Zion Avah. It's a question whether Shvat that year was a full month, a 30-day month, or a 29-day month, but altogether 36 days. 36 days. That comes from the gematria of Eila. The very beginning of the Sefer starts off with Eila Hadvarim. These are the words that Shadibar Moshe Al-Kol Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all of Bnei Yisrael. Eila is the gematria of 36, which stands for those 36 days that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke out all these parshas, these 11 parshas, from Devarim all the way to Vezos HaBracha, and he told Bnei Yisrael what they needed to know and what they didn't need to know. I don't know if anyone sat through a speech that was 2 hours long. I don't know if you sat through a speech that was 3 hours long, 4 hours. 36 days is quite a bit. I don't think I'd be able to sit through a 36-day speech, no matter who the speaker was, even if it was Moshe Rabbeinu. It seems to be a bit much. For us to be able to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them and how it came out to them, we have to understand what that means to speak for 36 days. Why would a person do that, and what does that mean? And aside from all that, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu change the style of the Torah? In which the style of the Torah up until now is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, all Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, but all the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Devarim seems to be Moshe Rabbeinu himself. More human output, more human input than any other Sefer up until now. What's the difference? What happened that Sefer Devarim had to be this way? So we know, on Zion Sivan, the year 2448 from the beginning of creation. At that point, that's when Bnei Yisrael received the Torah. I don't know how many people are up at this point in Haggadah. Usually when you get to this point, people are just running through it to try to get through it as quickly as possible and try to read through and just finish off as soon as you can. But it seems in Dayenu, it would say the word, Ilu Keravanu Uznei Har Sinai, if you would have brought us close to Har Sinai, Velo Nasan Lanu as the Torah, and you would not have given us the Torah at Dayenu. It would have been enough. The question is asked by everybody, that's not enough. Of course it wouldn't have. How could that have been enough? There's no way that would have been enough. If we would have gone to Har Sinai, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu would have said, let's all stand by the mountain. All right, now let's go. There's no question. Every single person would have gotten up and said, well, what are we supposed to get here? What are we supposed to do? Clearly, that wasn't our purpose in being here. Clearly, we weren't supposed to go to Har Sinai just to check out the site, to see a little mountain that's full of grass and flowers, and that was enough. But we say, let's thank you so much, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, for bringing us to a beautiful mountain. For bringing us to this place. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean by that? So the famous answer that's given is that had we just gone to Har Sinai, we would have been of such clarity of mind, we would have been on such a level, such a high level, where we would have been able to understand the Torah in its entirety as it was. We would have looked at the Torah, we would have seen the Torah as it is right in front of us, and we would have been able to derive all the laws that we would need, any halacha that you'd want to figure out, we would be able to figure out from each one of these words. You look at the word Eila, and you look at the word Hadvarim, and you would think laws that you never would have thought of before. You wouldn't have a need, says the Shem Yishmol, Rav Shmuel Misakachov, says you wouldn't have a need for Torah Shebaal Peh. There would have been absolutely no need for any Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Ksav would have been good enough. We would have seen the Torah, we would have read the laws from the Torah, and that would have been fine. At Har Sinai,
when they got the Aseret Dibros, when Bnei Yisrael received the Aseret Dibros, they listened to those Ten Commandments, and they didn't hear, "I am Hashem, who is taking you out of Mitzrayim," or "You shall not have any other gods," or "You should not say Hashem's name in vain." They heard, within every law, all the derivations, all the nuances of every single one of the 613 mitzvos, every single one of the good character traits that a person should have, anything you can think of. Everything was right there in front of him. It was in his hands. He figured out everything. He got everything that he could possibly want, he could possibly need. He got out of those Ten Commandments. If one understood Shabbos to its entirety, you would understand every Yom Tov. If you understood the just keep Shabbos, make it holy, you would be able to understand from those words, you'd be able to understand what Pesach is all about, what Sukkot is all about, what Shavuot is all about, all the Yomim Tovim. You would be able to understand why we eat matzah. You'd be able to understand why we sit in a sukkah, why we carry a lulav, why we learn Torah. You'd understand everything just within that category of Shabbos. But we don't understand. But at Har Sinai, there was such clarity of mind. They were like Avraham Avinu before the Torah was ever given. He's able to look at the world and see the world. He'd look at a chair and he'd be like, "Oh, that's stunning." He'd be able to see it within the chair. He'd be able to look at anything and say, "Here's what this stands for. Here's what anything stands for." He didn't just see an animal walking down the street, a cat. He looked at the cat and said, "That's how a cat acts. If that's how a cat acts, Kol Shekin, this is how I should act." This is what he saw. That's what Avraham Avinu saw. And this is what Bnei Yisrael were like if they came to Har Sinai. Had we only gone to Har Sinai to be on that level that we could look at the world in a different light, Dayin, that would have been good enough. You wouldn't even need to give him the entire Torah. You would have just needed to tell us those Ten Commandments that you had in mind in the first place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would have been good enough. Torah Shebaal Peh, and even most of Torah Shebaktav, would be completely unnecessary. We know they didn't last. The Eikel Azov took them down from that high pedestal, from that level that they were on. They no longer were on that level where they were all the way in Shemayim, where they felt that they were up in the heavens. They felt that they were on a pedestal and feeling that everything was up there. They no longer were on that level. So what happened? Oy, such a hard line. We lost it. We needed Torah Shebaal Peh. There's a medrash that when Moshe delayed in coming down the mountain, he used the word boshesh. He delayed in coming down the mountain. The word boshesh, says the Al Ruvaini, stands for word bishesh. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring down from Har Sinai bishesh with six books. The five books, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, and Yoshua. And that would have been it. There would have been nothing else after that. After Sheni Shmuel, I don't understand. They would have just gotten that. What about Torah Shebaal Peh? We know they got Torah Shebaal Peh with the Torah Shebaktav. Why wouldn't they have received anything? They wouldn't get any Gemaras, no Mishnah. They wouldn't have had Yechezkel, Yirmiyah, nothing. Why wouldn't they have gotten everything? Because they would have been able to figure out everything from the Torah. Everything would have been right there. And Moshe Rabbeinu may or may not have gone into Eretz Yisrael. That would be safe for Yoshua. Of getting them all the way into Eretz Yisrael. It would have been just with those sheish and nothing else. We know the Torah is made up with stories. And seemingly just historical facts. Telling us what happened, when it happened, and where it happened. Goes through those things. But we know that's not what it really means. The Torah is not a history book. The Torah is not there to just tell us little facts and to try to get our knowledge up there. So when a person asks, "Oh yeah, what happened in the year 2122? You'd be able to, "Oh, I can tell you right now." That's not what the point of the Torah is. The point of the Torah is to tell you secrets. To show you that there's things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be known in this world. We're not ready for that. We're not ready for it. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to hide it. Put it behind the scenes within the psukim that we have in our Torah. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say things directly. He wanted so badly to tell us everything that we needed to know, to put it right down in front of us and tell us everything. So he gave us the Torah Shebaal Peh. The point of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah that we speak about, the Gemaras that we learn, which we spend almost all of our time in Skokie Yeshiva doing, and the point of any yeshiva, of trying to teach Torah Shebaal Peh, is to tell a person how he's supposed to learn the Das of God, the knowledge of God. How you're supposed to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted out of his Torah. Do you know why we fast on Yom Kippur? Does it say it anywhere in the Torah that we fast on Yom Kippur? Not one place. V'sanisim et nafshos seichem. You should afflict your souls, it says about Yom Kippur. There's not a single place where it says you've got to fast. Do we understand what an esrog is? All it says in the Torah is pre-etz hadar, a beautiful fruit. A beautiful fruit from a tree. That's all it says. And yet we understand that to be an esrog. Does it say anywhere in the Torah how to make tzitzis? Or how to wear tefillin? Or what the tefillin are supposed to look like? Nowhere. Not one place.
a person of clarity of mind, if a person was Avram Avinu or Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai, they would have been able to look at those words and they'd figure out, oh, that's an etrog. Oh, that's how you make tefillin. It's a box and it's black and it's got to look like this. You'd know how to put them on and how to wear them and how to do everything. But without it, without the Torah Sheval Peh, we can't get it. We don't have that ability and it's not there. Sefer Dvarim is so different, so much different from the rest of the Svarim. Sefer Dvarim was more direct. You look at the Psukim and you can understand them better. It's down to our level. It feels like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking down to us. And that's why it's known as Moshe Rabbeinu Sefer, as if I'm giving these words to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them to us, and it's not like the rest of the Torah, where it seems we're missing something, where it's purposely hiding something, where it's changing things and putting them in story form so you don't see it directly. Here, it's direct. Moshe Rabbeinu looks at them and says, this is what I spoke about on this date, at this time, in this place. I spoke about it for 36 days, and here it is. Here's my speech. Here are the notes. This is the Emancipation Proclamation. This is the Declaration of Independence. This is the ultimate word that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to get out there with no... There are hints. There's something behind it. But it's so clear, and it looks so much clearer to people. Do we know why? Because we didn't send to the Torah Sheval Peh. Because after the Torah Shebaksav comes Torah Sheval Peh. And this entire Torah has been leading up to the point where it's saying, listen, you can't stop here. You got to keep going and learn Gemara. So we don't stop. We go into Devarim, we get ourselves used to understanding things by reading it directly, and then we get into Torah Sheval Peh where we discuss. We look at it and we say, so wait a second. If this was so clear, why wasn't the rest of the Torah so clear? It must be that we're missing something, and we go back and check out what those hints are to try to see. We see it's more explicit, we see it's more transparent, we see how tangible it is. Devarim is all about Moshe Rabbeinu telling us what Torah Sheval Peh is supposed to be and how you're supposed to learn the entire Torah, how a person is supposed to be that way. Rav Levi Yitzchak Mevorodichev adds on to this a little bit. Rav Levi Yitzchak Mevorodichev, the famous Hasidic Rebbe, originally from Anipoli, he says, there's still secrets. There's still secrets that are all out there. There's no simple people in the world. Anytime you see a person walking in the street, you have no idea what his story is. You don't know what his background is. You don't know where he's coming from or what he was doing or how he got to the place where he is now. You have no idea. This person could be Mashiach. This person could be Eliyahu HaNavi. This person could be one of the Raman Bab Sadiqim. And you'll have no idea. He might be asking you for money. He might have crazy hair. He might be saying the end is near with a little sign walking through the street. You have no idea who he is. We make assumptions when we see people. We make assumptions. That's what happens every single time. That's what we do when it comes to the Torah as well. Are we bothered when there's an aleph that's missing? Unless we're vocabulary freaks? We don't care. You see a little truck that's the wrong way? You see a strange truck that you've never seen before? You hear the Balkori read it a little bit differently, and then you're done. You say, okay, I'm on to the next thing. I'm on to the next thing. I'm going on to the next part. We don't think about it. We don't think about any of this. Before the Egel Azor, we thought about those things. We saw it, and we said to ourselves, what's going on here? What was Shabbos all about? Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu include Shabbos within the Ten Commandments? Don't lie. What does it mean not to lie? What does it mean to not say an untruth in a court of law? What does that mean? What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want from me? Now, we're just a little bit off. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave words through Moshe Rabbeinu for him to tell us, in which we can lead ourselves into Torah Sheval Peh, to lead ourselves into what we have. The Rav Chava says it explains a famous question. Toward the beginning of the Parsha, the Pasuk says, after he says where we were, he says, it was in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, at Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Dibar Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all Bnei Yisrael, Kekol Asher Tzivo Hashem Oso Aleihem, like everything that God had commanded him to tell them. It repeats itself throughout the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu did everything that Moshe Rabbeinu that he was commanded from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What do we want with that? Of course he did what a Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded him to do. It's clear that that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do. It's obvious that he was supposed to do everything that he was commanded to do. What do we think? What are we trying to tell you? And especially now in Devarim, this is not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's own words, isn't it? Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and he tells the people, this is what I wanted to tell you. It doesn't seem like it's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's Mishnah Torah. It's Devarim Shel Moshe. This is not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded him to do. So what is it, Tzivui, that we're trying to say? We have to understand the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's two different types of Nevuah. Most prophets are able to speak with the word Ko. Ko Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem says. It's not a clear picture. It's an Asakariya Meirah.
It's as if looking through this shaded glass. You can still see. You can still see someone behind there, and you can still see someone from the other side. Even though it's a machitza, you can still see on the other side. But it's still clouded glass. And when a person sees a Navi from one of the other prophets, when they saw a Nebuah, when they saw a prophecy, what they saw was clouded glass. They saw somebody on the other side. They saw pictures. And they had to put it together. And they had to come out with a prophecy based on what they saw. There were prophets that made mistakes. Yirmiyah HaNavi was famous that in Yirmiyah HaNavi Sefer, it writes that he said that everything that would happen on Shiva, what we know of as Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, would happen on Tes Tammuz. Why? Says Rashi. Because he was so upset about the Nevuah that he was seeing, about the destruction of the temple, that he saw the wrong dates. Saw the wrong dates. A Navi can still make a mistake because it's still a picture. And he has to translate that picture. We trust our Nevi'im so well that we know that what they're saying is 100% true. That everything that they're saying and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had us write down was 100% MS. There was nothing wrong with it. But we purposely had one of the mistakes of Yirmiyah HaNavi to show that it's very hard to be a Navi. You see it as a code. You don't see it direct. You're not seeing a chair. You're seeing an image of what could be a chair if you translate it correctly. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. Moshe Rabbeinu always spoke with Zeh HaDavar. He saw everything direct to the point where he could point at it with a finger. When he was shown the menorah, he was able to point at the menorah and say, this is what the menorah is supposed to look like. When he was told about the new moon, he was able to point at the new moon and say, this is the new moon. The shkon, the chatzi shekel, he's able to point and say, this is the chatzi shekel that I was told to make for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's able to point at the Zeh HaDavar. There was no Nebuah like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nebuah was beyond anybody else's Nebuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was told directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a mouthpiece for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything that God wanted went directly through him. That was the difference between him and everybody else. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make something entirely spiritual and turn it into something physical in this world, it's hard to do so. The man, which was food for the malachim, something which is impossible for a normal human being to understand, mazon for the malachim that angels can eat, became a white fluffy substance, which is why a lot of Jews like fluff, a white fluffy substance that sat there and sat in front of them and became something physical. It wasn't something physical. It fed the angels. It's what Moshe Rabbeinu had during his 40 days that he was up on Har Sinai. It wasn't something that you could touch. It wasn't something that you could really feel. It didn't have any taste. It wasn't from this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, even when he put it inside this world, whether you want to say he contracted it, he took something huge and put it inside this world. He had to change the tzura. He had to change what it was all about and bring it inside this world and put it inside here. And somehow fit it within the physical realm. And make it something that you could touch, you could feel, and do something with it. The Torah is the exact same way. The Torah is not something that should be able to be touched or understood by human ears. The Torah is something which is the word and knowledge of God. Such a thing can't be comprehended. Such a thing can't be thought about. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us, put it down for us, and said, here it is. I'm putting it out on a platter for you. And he couldn't give exactly what his mind was thinking. Instead, he condensed it. He put it all together and made it into something and said, here's what I can give you. But it was condensed. It wasn't clear. The difference is, it was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thinking went directly through Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth and was given to us. It was given as a direct source of light for us to be able to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And we have unbelievable amounts of emunah. That's by Aminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo. Not only do we trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of us, that he's our God. We trust in Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu was so great. He was on such a level. There were so many things that he was able to say that it was directly the word of God that came through him. And we understand it that way. And even though this sefer seems to be more from him, this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to say it. And it came through Moshe Rabbeinu in that way. It became something a little bit clearer because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to tell it to us, even though it was in his own words. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu zocha to such a thing? Moshe Rabbeinu was zocha to write a sefer. He would be on par with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, I'll take four, you take one. How could he be zocha to such a thing? If you were to give Moshe Rabbeinu that ability, there's only one trait that we know about Moshe Rabbeinu that he had that no other person is known as, and only one thing that the Torah praises Moshe Rabbeinu about. What is it? His humility. His ability to be a pure, humble person, in spite of the fact that he was the greatest person to have ever lived. That he was the greatest Navi to have ever lived, without a question. He was able to be an Ana, a humble person. How is that possible? He wrote about himself that I am the most humble person to have ever lived. How do you write that about yourself? And yet still mean it. The Bumar Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, this is what I want to say. It's such an unbelievable level. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was first told to be a leader for the people, he sat there for 7 days arguing and saying, not me. I don't want it. Anybody but me. Choose somebody else. 7 days. I don't think I would have lasted 30 seconds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to me, be a leader for the people, go take them out. Okay. I don't think it would have taken me more than 5 seconds to come out with the words, okay. It's not even a word. It's two letters. That's all it would have taken me. But Moshe Rabbeinu was an anav, and he truly felt this was not a fake. It wasn't just a position that he was taking. He truly felt he wasn't worthy. He looked at himself and he said, you want me? Why would anybody want me? What have I ever done to deserve to take the people out? It can't be me. And he argued with the Kadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days. 7 days sitting by the snack. And God says, well, please go. I can't. I can't do it. Send Aaron instead. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please send somebody else instead of me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did get angry at Moshe Rabbeinu for the wording that he used. You're speaking Lashon Hara about Bnei Yisrael, that they're not going to believe you. I can't believe that. But the fact that he kept himself out for 7 days, there's no person that can do that. To say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, we're offered a level of high position. If somebody here was offered a job to be the CEO of a huge company, you wouldn't take it in a second? We're offering you $500,000 on the spot. I'll give you $500,000 if you go ahead and you become a CEO of a certain company. You have to be in charge. You have no prior experience. Nothing else. You're not going to take it? Why wouldn't you take it? What would be the problem with doing such a thing? Maybe you'd have some reservations. You'd sit there and you'd say, well, I'm not so sure. What can I do? How can I really help? I don't know how it's going to work, but why wouldn't you take it? Maybe you'll delay for a little bit. I've got to talk to my wife for a little bit. You come back. Honey, is it okay? Yes, I'm in. 30 seconds. It can't be longer than that. If you text, it might be even quicker. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it for 7 days. How is he able to push off HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days? Teaches us a lesson. Not everybody can do this. A leader can do this. A true leader has to feel about himself. Take somebody else. And only when it's absolutely imperative that he takes the job, that's when he's forced to take the job. He has to feel that it's absolute, that no one else would do it if he doesn't do it. And if he doesn't feel that way, then forget it. He's not going to do it. If he doesn't feel that way, if he feels somebody else could take it over, then you say no. Even though you might be better than that other person. But if that other person could do it, a true leader would say no before he says yes. I'll help him out from the side. But to be the ultimate leader, that I don't need. I don't need that. That's what a true leader should feel, to have that anivus. Because if he's not like that, then you could put a bet down. You could put it down. You could have any odds you want to give him. I guarantee you that person is going to be a dictator and not just a regular king. There's no question that he's going to demand more from everybody else and demand less from himself. If he's an anav, he demands more from himself more than he does from the people. And if the people mess up, he doesn't say, look what you gave me. He says, it was my fault. Kill me first. Take me before anybody else. That's what a true leader is. A true leader doesn't blame other people and say, it was his fault. No, it was his fault. It was that person's fault. It's everyone else but me. A true leader looks in the mirror and says, it's me. It's no one else. I'm the problem. I'm the one who's done something wrong. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for the quintessential leader of the people, a person who would be able to speak out the word of God and not say, hey, did you hear that? That was really God, not me. For a person to be able to be that way and to not say about himself that he is so great and to not feel that he was so great, for a person to even write about himself within any type of term, that I am an anav, you need a person like Moshe Rabbeinu. You need a person who truly feels, I'm not worthy of being this type of a leader. I'm not worthy of being here. I don't know we're on that type of a level. I can't believe that there's too many people that are on that level to be able to say no, 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 no when somebody offers them a very good job. For somebody to keep saying no because they feel there might be somebody else who could take over that job instead of them. I'm not a leader. I'm not somebody who's great.
But Moshe Rabbeinu was that. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that in him, and saw how true of a tzaddik he was, he couldn't take it. And that's the reason why, when it goes through the different things that Bnei Yisrael had, it said, Eicha asol levadi torchachem u'matzachem v'rifchem. How can I take it myself? The pasuk that we say in the Lashon of Eicha, because the Varm always comes out before Tisha B'Av. Eicha asol levadi torchachem u'matzachem v'rifchem. That's how the Baal Kori is supposed to read it. How could I carry it on my own? It says right after that. Havalachem anoshim, chachamim, nevonim, viduim l'shiktechem. Bring me men that are wise, understanding, and well-known to your shvachim. Basimim b'roshechem. And I'll put them in charge of everybody else. But later on, when it speaks about who he actually took, it says, "Vachachas Rosh Hashifeichem," and I took the Rosh of the heads of the Shvatim, Anoshim, Chachomim, Viduim. Leaves out the word Nevonim, the understanding people. What happened? Where did those understanding people go? You mean to tell me that in Dor Dea, this generation, you couldn't find people that were understanding? How could you not find them? It's simple. Of course, they could find understanding people. They could find such people. But Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to them, I offered you guys the job of a judge. And I went to you and I said, you'll be the judge of thousands. You'll be the judge of hundreds. And you'll be the judge of tens. And he went on to each person. What did he expect of them? He expected them to say, I'm not worthy. He expected them to be like himself. To say, why me? Choose my friend. My friend's much better than me. What did the people do? The people say,
yeah, that's right. That's right. What did you get chosen for? I'm a 50. Now I'm of 100.
And when he saw that, he said, you guys didn't understand. You missed out. You can't be leaders of Klal Yisrael. You a gaiva. This is an unbelievable medrash. Parshas Yisro was not fed by Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe Rabbeinu knew all it would cause was hatred and jealousy in Klal Yisrael. Because once you have 68,000 judges that are in charge of the people, you know you're going to have another 500,000 people that are like, why not me? Where'd I go? How come I couldn't have been chosen? How come that guy? That guy? That guy? You gotta be joking. Do you know what he does? Do you see how he makes brachas? He's nothing like me. He knew that was what was going to happen. Of course it was going to happen. Of course it was going to happen. So Moshe Rabbeinu never suggested it. And even though it was a bother to him, he had to stand and listen to everybody's claims all day long. When Yisro came up to him and said, why don't you go ahead and make judges? Said Moshe Rabbeinu, I think this is better. I'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I think this is better. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, listen, you need to do this. If they pass the test, great. If they don't pass the test, you know. What can you do? But you need the judges out there. And Moshe Rabbeinu tried it, and they didn't pass the test. They were chachamim, they were yiduim, they were anashim, but they weren't nevonim. They weren't understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted and how he wanted it. That was the difference between them. So to cap off, how do we start this off? We started off with understanding that Devarim was a brand new parsha, not like anything that we've had up until now. It seems to be the word of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we said that the word of Moshe Rabbeinu is a little bit different from a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more input from a human resource, but it's still the word of God. Moshe Rabbeinu still spoke through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to put himself within Moshe Rabbeinu and say things directly. We said the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and any other Navi is Zeh versus Ko. That Moshe Rabbeinu was able to say things directly, that it wasn't really just HaKadosh, it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. It was God speaking through him. It was clear. It was as if he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking through him. That's how it was. And Devarim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu still speaking. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's language, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him the language to say. And that's what it means by the word, like everything that God commanded him to do. Because everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did was what God commanded him to do. Throughout the Torah we mentioned, this is what God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to do. And it was clear that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to do. And we end off with the concept that a person, why Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen more than anybody else, was due to his anivus, his humility and his ability to say, you know, there's some things that I'm not ready for. Choose somebody else. He was a nubim, a person who understood that. And there are other people who are not that way. For us to take out is to be able to understand what it means to be a nubim, to be a real understanding person, to say, you know, there's some times where I just have to say to myself, I'm not the man for the job. And even though our gaiva is pushing us, and our yetzahara is pushing us, and saying to us, please do it, just do it. You're the guy. You do it. You're the person who's ready for it. For us to say, maybe there's somebody else. To at first say no, and then say yes. And to bring it to a more practical application, they say when a person davens for the almost, when a person is asked to daven for the almost, they go up to him, The first time you're supposed to say no, and then afterward you say yes. They go up to you and say, can you daven for the yomim? You say, please ask somebody else. And then if they come back to you and they say, please, I want you, then you're supposed to say yes. Well, how lucky a person is supposed to do that. Brings down the Mishnah Berurah. It's just to lead that into, lead yourself into saying, instead of saying, I'm great, I can do it, I'm the one, I've got everything myself. Instead of saying that, you start saying, maybe somebody else can try. Maybe somebody else can do it. I'll help him if he needs. I'll help him. If he needs to sing and he's got a bad voice, I'll sing along with him. I'll sing along with him. And if you have a worse voice, don't. Then you don't. But you go ahead and you help him out. And then afterward you say, okay, now I'll, if nobody else can do it, then I'll take the place. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us. That's what we're supposed to do. Hopefully we'll be able to learn a little bit of that lesson and be able to learn what it means to have our own parsha, to speak things in our own words and yet still have HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak through us. Have a good Shabbos, and thank you very much.